Amen. Thank you so much, David. Beautiful. I appreciate that message and song. Amen. Wow. Appreciate that, David. And I do want to say again, thank you to Christina and Carissa for their beautiful music here today. That was gorgeous. A little taste of heaven. And Nathan, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to embarrass you again. But Nathan, go ahead and stand. And this here is Nathan. He's going to be externing with us this semester. And so praise the Lord. If you have any issues or problems, talk to Nathan. No. That's a good, we want you to really experience what ministry is like, Nathan. No. Don't do that to him. Let's pray. Most gracious God, we thank you, we praise you. May we encounter the living God today here in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 16 through 9, or 9, it says, a wide door for effective work has been opened, and there are many who oppose me. In 2 Corinthians 2:12, it says, now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me. Acts 14:27, on arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Again, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mysteries of Christ. And I could keep going with verse after verse. Hallelujah, our God has an open door policy. We serve a God who opens doors. And that's really what we're going to be looking at today in our message. When Paul leaves Corinth, or is leaving Corinth in Acts the 18th chapter, he says to the people of Corinth, he promises them, I will return. I will return to you. But then when he's writing the Corinthians, when he's in Ephesus, writing to the Corinthians in their letter, he says that he's going to stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And so he tells the Corinthians he's going to return when he leaves there in Acts 18, but then when he writes the Corinthians later, when he's in Ephesus, he says, I've got to postpone my return. Basically, God opened a door, and so Paul has to change his plans. Friends, when God opens a door, it should change our plans. Amen? We need to be willing to be adaptable and be willing to go through the doors that God opens us for us, regardless of the plans. Paul calls it a great door. One translator says it was a huge and important door. The word megas for great door, the word megas means out of the ordinary. And so Paul's saying that this is an out of the ordinary opportunity. When God opens a door, it is an out of the ordinary opportunity. And that's why we want to take God up on all of his open doors that he sends into our lives. Today we're going to look at the four O's of God's open door policy. All right? Option, opportunity, opposition, and overcome. Those are the four points in God's open door policy. Option, opportunity, opposition, overcome. First, option. When God opens a door, you always have an option. Doesn't mean he always gives you an option, but you always have a choice, an option. Deuteronomy 30:19, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Paul did not have to go through the door that God had opened. He didn't have to take God up on that opportunity. He had a choice. God always gives a choice, because love without a choice is not really love at all. So God always gives us a choice. You have an option, but in some ways you don't really have an option, because God's way is the best way. Amen? And we read in Deuteronomy 30:19, today I have given you the choice. He gives you a choice between life and death. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants may live. You have an option. You can stay where you are in your life and slowly rot away, or you can choose to step through the door with God and live. You can stay where you are, stagnant, or you can step through the door and allow God to do his thing in your life. We tend to hesitate going through the doors that God has opened because if we're honest, we're a little afraid of what might be on the other side. You know, we know, I was talking to some people after first service, is we know that God's doors are really big doors. They're megas doors. And often we're intimidated by the issues that we might face on the other side. You know, we love to say things, let me pray about it, Lord. And look, I believe in praying about everything. Recently, we had to get a new dryer. Man, I pray over the dryers. I pray over the washing machines. I say, Lord, this has got to work for a very long time. What's amazing is this dryer we've had since my wife and I have been married 22 years. Let me tell you, there's power in prayer. God led me to that dryer when my wife and I got married. Hallelujah. So I believe in praying about everything. There's nothing too small that I don't pray about. But make sure that you don't use prayer as a way to postpone what God has already told you to do. You know, I mean, God has already said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You don't have to pray about it, because if you come back in 5 years, I promise you this, it's going to say the same thing when you get back to it. All right? So you don't really need to pray about that. God already said, don't neglect the assembly together. Don't miss church. You don't got to pray about that. God already said, love your enemies. You don't got to pray about that. Now we got to pray for power to do it. Amen? But we don't have to pray for the permission to do it. God's already told you. If God said it, you don't have to pray about it. God's already given you his answer. The door is already opened. You just got to get up and go through that door. Paul, this is what I love about Paul. Paul doesn't have to think about it. All right? Sometimes we always got to think about it. Pastor, let me pray about it. We got nominating committee coming around. Hallelujah. Love that time of the year. And what an exciting time to get a lot of people telling us, well, Pastor, let me pray about it. And come on, let's be real. Most of the time, we've already got our answer. We're just saying, you know, and I believe in praying about it. I certainly don't want you in a role that God does not want you in. Pray about it. But friends, don't use it as an excuse. You know, that's what I love about Paul. Paul doesn't need to think about it. He doesn't have to pray and fast about it. He sees a big door that God's opened, a megas opportunity, and he jumped into that opportunity. Because the thing about opportunities is opportunities don't reschedule. And so you got to take that opportunity when you have it. You got to go through that door. Don't be indecisive. Don't keep teetering. You know, step through the door that God's opened with boldness and with faith, which leads us to our second point. All right? God's open door policy. You have an option. You have a choice. Next point, opportunities. Whenever God opens a door, he opens an opportunity. You see, when you moved into your neighborhood, God just, that was an opportunity for you to bring Jesus with you into your neighborhood. All right? When you have a change of a job, God just gave you an opportunity to share your faith with the people that you work with. Baptism is an opportunity to live a new life in Christ Jesus. The former things are done away with. Behold, all things have become new. The open door of the health message. Man, that is an opportunity. You know, if you've been to my Revelation series, you heard the statistics that on average, the Adventist male lives up to like 8 to 9 years to 10 years longer than the average Adventist male lives 10 years longer than the average male that is not Adventist. The average female, it's like 7 or 8 years longer. Let me tell you, the health message that we have is an opportunity to actually extend and improve the quality of your life. That's an opportunity. God opened the door for you to join this church so that you would have the opportunity to be a part of something bigger than yourself. Your children are an opportunity to help them grow up in full stature, to be image representatives for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your marriage is an opportunity. Your relationships are an opportunity. When God opens the door, there is opportunity. In fact, even tragedy can be an opportunity. Problems are an opportunity to pray. Did you know that? There's nothing like a problem to get you praying. Reaching the end of your rope is an opportunity to reach out and take the hand of God. All right? Hitting a dead end is an opportunity to turn around and go back the way you should be going. Failure is an opportunity to reevaluate what you're doing in your life and to change directions to go through the door that God has for you. In recovery, whenever something happened that was very hard for me to stomach, my sponsor would obnoxiously say to me, what an amazing opportunity for spiritual growth. And whenever I would go to him, and early in recovery, you know, you're pretty dysfunctional, you're pretty, you know, dishonesty was the way of addiction, and don't worry, some of you struggle with this stuff too, you just don't know you do. Denial is a powerful thing. And so he would tell me, and so I'd hit a traffic jam, Marvin, sorry I'm late, man, this crazy drivers in Tennessee are awful. And he would say, what an amazing opportunity, Richie, for spiritual growth. Get a letter from the IRS, what an amazing opportunity for spiritual growth. Get in an argument with my lovely wife, which never ever, rarely ever happens. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. What an amazing opportunity, Richie, for spiritual growth. The boss is acting crazy, you name it. What an amazing opportunity. And I hated hearing it, but it was so true. Eventually, I got to where I never shared my problems with him because I knew what was coming. And I answered it for myself. I would say, yeah, what a wonderful, amazing opportunity for spiritual growth. And I'm saying this to some people here today. Everything is an opportunity to grow spiritually. God wants to turn your problems into possibilities. You see, I believe God's opening doors all over the place. We just don't see them because we are so focused on the problem. Man, as I was working on this sermon, the thought that came to my mind is, you know, patience is not a virtue of mine. And so I do, and that's another thing my sponsor would say, be careful about praying for patience. God will send a traffic jam. And he'll do that, man, for me, because I've got to learn this. And so the thing, God is always, I thought of all the opportunities God's opened up to me to share my faith with people while standing in the line of Walmart in the grocery line, you know? Because sometimes, you know, at Walmart, you know, there'll be a billion people and only one aisle open, you know? But praise the Lord, not ours and not where Deborah works, hallelujah, that's a great Walmart. I look for her because she is fast at the checkout line, which I love. But how many times I miss the opportunity to smile at someone, to talk to someone, just because I'm so focused on how long it's taking that person to unload their shopping cart. I think our opportunities are all around us. Every Sabbath is an opportunity to meet someone new. Every day is an opportunity to live a new life, to do something maybe you never did before. God's opening the doors all over the place. I wonder, is the church taking advantage of all the doors that God is opening? Man, we should be the best at everything we do. Amen? You know, Walmart always makes sure we have a greeter. The church needs to have the best greeting, amen? Because there's no better business than the church. We should have the best customer service in the church. We should have the best music in the church. We should have the best teaching in the church. We should have the most love in the church. Are we taking advantage of all the opportunities and the open doors that God is giving? Well, to be able to discern the open doors, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Friends, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And that's why, man, we've daily got to ask for an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because we don't naturally see the opportunities. But when God fills your life, let me tell you, you're going to see opportunity after opportunity. You see, God's opening the doors all around us, but we just don't see them. God's got to fill our lives. When God opens a door, it should change our plans. And that's why I always say, when you make your plans, make sure you make your plans with pencil and give God the eraser. I'm a planner. I love to make plans. I am a plan. I have a hard time going away from the plan. This is the plan. But hallelujah, let me tell you, I need to be willing to make my plans in pencil and give God the eraser, because let me tell you, God's plan is always the best plan. God's plan for this church is better than any plan that I or you have for this church. God's plan for your life is far better than your plan for your life. Notice, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. God is so good. Notice what it says in Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that what? If you want God's purposes to prevail, stop letting your plans prevent you from seeing the doors that God has opened. Be willing to listen to Him doing things a little differently in your life. It's kind of funny because this was my sermon. I never come in this door. I always come in this door or downstairs, but I was coming in this door and I opened the one door. Most of you know this probably, but the right door coming in, it doesn't move. It doesn't open. And so I was fighting with that door for a few minutes this morning, and I'm hitting the little things, latches, and I'm moving them and I'm budging on the door will not budge. And I go up to Joe Weaver and I say, "Hey man, can you get that door open?" Well, he told me, "Well, we don't really open that door." And I said, "Oh, okay, that makes perfect sense." But it was just funny because here I'm doing a sermon on God opening doors and I'm trying to go in a closed door, a locked door, right? You know, Coco Chanel said, "Don't spend time beating on a wall hoping to transform it into a door." You know, some of us are beating our heads up against the wall because we are just insistent to make a door where there is no door. And God's waiting for you patiently. Man, some of us are facing open doors in our career today. You think that something has bad happened because God closed the door on something. Let me tell you, whenever God closes a lesser door, He's got a better door to open. Some of us are facing an open door in a relationship. You thought, man, they broke up with me. But what you don't know is God's about to open a door for a better relationship in your life. Some of us are facing a new open door for living a new life. We've started out this new year, and we're going to live healthier, and we're going to live more holistic. Step through that door, man. When God opens a door, you have an option. It will open up opportunities. But third point, it will bring, what's that word there? Opposition. So Paul says a wide and great door for effective work has been opened. And in the very same breath, he doesn't even stop. He says, and there are many who oppose me. A wide door for effective work, and there are many who oppose me. Big opportunities always come with big opposition. If there's no opposition, then it's not a very big opportunity. That's why when you don't feel like coming to church is when you need to come to church. Because you see, the enemy wouldn't be fighting you if he didn't know that you're going to go to church today and God's going to give you a breakthrough. He's going to open a door that is going to change your life, and it's going to bring you one more step closer to God's calling on your life. The enemy wouldn't be attacking you if you didn't intimidate him. Paul says it's a wide door for effective work. I don't know about you, but this year, I want more of my work that I do to be more effective for the King of Kings. Amen? We're not in this for busy work. No one gets any points for just being busy, busy beavers. No, it's all the proof is in the pudding. I want to see more fruit for my labor. Amen?
Amen.
It's about working smarter, not necessarily working harder. I believe God wants to do more effective things in our lives and in this church. But you will see that as your life becomes more effective, people become more threatened. Amen?
Amen.
Always. It never fails. Every job that I've ever been in, you know, when I, you know, I'm the type of person, I want to get in there, knock the job out and be done. I want to get in there, hit it hard and go. And sometimes people don't like that. And I used to deliver office products and I used to like to get out there and get done. And a couple of the guys from the office supply company met me in the break room one morning and they said, Richie Halverson, you got to slow it down. You're making us look bad. You know, stop, you know, and that's the thing. As we work more effectively for the king, it will attract the attention of the enemy and the jealousy of other people. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? What's crazy about Cain is he could have done the exact same thing that his brother Abel did, as God tells him, you will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out, sin is crouching at the what? Eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. Friends, whenever God opens a door, the enemy's going to lay an ambush. That's what that word means. It means lurking. It means waiting to ambush. The devil loves to hang out by the open doors that God has opened to try to ambush you. Ephesus was a major pagan false worship center in the world. Let me tell you, if Paul and the apostles and the early church could reach Ephesus with the gospel, we can reach the world we're living in with the gospel. Because Ephesus was loaded with paganism and false teaching and false worship. One of the seven ancient wonders of the world, the Temple of Artemis, was right there in Ephesus. So Paul is surrounded by beliefs that are contrary to the gospel. Every day he's bombarded by things that are contrary to the word of God. And friends, I hate to tell you, but so are we. We are surrounded by a world that opposes the true gospel of Jesus Christ. We live in a day and age where to declare yourself as a Christian, people will automatically say they're intolerant and they don't love and they are exclusive and they hate speech. All of a sudden, when you identify in this world that you are a Christian or that you believe in things as marriage between a husband and a wife, you're labeled as being intolerant. And friends, that is the world that we live in. We are surrounded by forces of the enemy that are determined to get you to question what the Bible says. Opposition's going to come from the outside. 1 John 5:19 says, the world around us is under the control of who? The evil one. It's under his control. But the opposition doesn't stop there. The biggest fights in the book of Acts does not come from the world. Read the book of Acts and you'll see the biggest fights came from within. Acts is a story of the church persecuting the church. They're chasing them all over the place. They're chasing them. God starts reaching the Gentiles and many of the Jewish leadership are fighting them tooth and nail. The biggest fights do not come from without us. They come from within. 1 Corinthians 15:32, he says, I fought with wild beasts in Ephesus. And as you study this text, you realize that he's not talking about animals. He's talking about people. Because, friends, nothing is more ferocious and terrible than the way we can treat each other sometimes. Nothing is more ferocious and cruel-hearted than people. Only people can dream up something like the Holocaust and Auschwitz and concentration camps. There's nothing more cruel and ferocious than the way we can treat other people. And we can't stoop to that level. If we're the church, we're the body of Christ, we need to love each other more than we've been loving each other.
Amen.
We need to support each other more than we've ever supported each other, because we are surrounded by wild beasts. In Proverbs, it says, do not answer a fool according to their folly, or you yourself will be just like them. Matthew 7:6, do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they trample them under their feet. Man, I'm going to surround myself with people that are going through God's doors just like I want to go through God's doors. Amen? Show me your friends, and I will tell you where you will be in a few years. Friends, surround yourself with people that are going somewhere. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they couldn't recognize a good thing when they saw it. George Bernard Shaw said, never wrestle with pigs because they both get dirty, but the pig likes it. You know, don't stoop to the enemy's level. You know, you walk in on gossip, just leave it. Don't go down to that level. Don't start thinking negatively, because whether you realize it or not, when you speak negatively of someone else, you start thinking negatively of yourself. When we attack other people, we're actually attacking ourselves. And the crazy thing is that Paul reminds us, when he's on the road to Damascus, after he's been hurting the church, ruining the church, persecuting the church, Jesus does not say, hey, I don't like the way you've been treating my people. He says, I don't like the way you've been persecuting me. When we tear down others, we're tearing down the temple of God. We're tearing Jesus himself down. Get out of the mud, friends. It says he lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set me free on the rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. Don't fight the enemy with the enemy. Don't use the world to fight the world. Fight the enemy with God. And when you fight the enemy with God, check it out. If you're careful to obey me and go through the doors that I open for your life, following my instruction, then I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will oppose those who oppose you. Man, when the enemy attacks you, God takes it personal. When somebody attacks you and your character, God takes it personal. God takes it personal. Exodus 14:14 says that the Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent. You don't have to defend yourself if Jesus is defending you before the throne of God. I love that. I love that. And I love this one too. It says, I will crush the opposition before him and strike down those who hate him. Let God fight your battles. Let God fight the opposition. There is going to be opposition. The bigger the door, the bigger the opposition that you'll face. But let God fight your battles for you. He will crush the opposition. He will defeat the enemy in your life. So when God opens a door, there's an option, there's opportunity, there's opposition. And last point today, overcome. In Revelation 3:8, notice what it says. I know that you have little power. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. Basically, there is no person, and I love that it says we have little power. I hope you know you have little power. Do you know that? You have very little power. You have no power over the traffic. You have no powerful power over other people. You don't have power. You know, parents, once your kids become adults, you don't have power. You can't give them a good old-fashioned whooping anymore. Sometimes we wish we could. But you can't. You don't have the power over their lives. You can't make the one you're married to. Couples, you don't have power to make them do something you don't want them to do. We have little power. The only people you have power over is yourself. Is yourself. We have little power. But behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. Friends, there is no person or problem strong enough to shut the door that God has opened for you. A wide door for effective work has opened, and so I'm going to stay in Ephesus until Pentecost. Friends, Pentecost was in a time of intense prayer and preparation. For what? Well, for God to open a door and to give them power from on high, to give them the power they need to walk through the doors of life. It was a Jewish celebration. The Feast of Pentecost was a Jewish celebration about when Israel was at Sinai and God comes down on the mountain And it was a time that they remembered that. But unfortunately, Israel didn't take advantage of the door that God had opened. And so we know that Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, pointed forward to a true and bigger and better Pentecost. When 40 days after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, we have this powerful scene where the Holy Spirit is poured out. So Pentecost became that promise waiting to be fulfilled, and it was in Christ Jesus. Notice, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. We lack the power, but God can give you the power. Amen? So before you go through this door, make sure you pray for power from on high. Before you leave your bedroom in the morning, you need to pray for power from on high. Before you go to work, before you accept the job, man, before you say, I do, you better be praying for power from on high. Before I even open my mouth, I pray, Lord, give me power from on high. And so it says in Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, check it out, they were all together and they were in one place. You see, doors start opening for the church when the church is on the same page together, praying together, working together, and going in the same direction together. Think of the doors that were open that day when the Holy Spirit poured out on people. They overcame racial barriers. They overcame language barriers. They overcame cultural barriers. They even overcome personal barriers. The promise of Pentecost is that if you're willing to go through the door God's opened, He'll give you the power to overcome any opposition that you're going to face. Man, look at the power of God. Peter goes from saying, I don't know who he is, to saying, let me tell you about my King Jesus. God is giving people power. I believe God is giving the church power to step through the door, to overcome the opposition that it faces. Let me tell you, nothing. God, Jesus tells us that even the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And I, for too long, I've seen the church roll over and play dead. We need to get up, mount up with the power of the Holy Spirit and start breaking down barriers again. Barriers that are out there in the world, loaded with hate. The church is to be a beacon of love. Man, God's going to give us the power to overcome the obstacles. If you still don't believe me, friends, on Good Friday, the disciples thought the greatest door to ever be opened. Maybe today you had a door slammed in your face. Well, the disciples on Good Friday thought that the greatest door to ever be opened, the Messiah, had been slammed and shut and bolted in their face. Luke 24:21, two disciples are on their road to Emmaus and they've got their heads down. They're sulking, they're upset. Why? We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. But the implication is, but we were wrong. He wasn't, because he died. The door was slammed in their face. And then in Luke 24:20, he says, our chief priests, our rulers, our church leaders delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Friends, we've all been to this place that the disciples have been. At some point in our lives, when the door gets slammed in our face, when our hopes get nailed to a cross, when we were faithful, but we still feel forsaken. And so there they are. They feel like the door is shut and that nothing can open it. Easter morning comes around and the women head to the tomb. They've prepared spices and ointments for the dead body of Jesus. But along the way, they remember that something is in the way, but coming between them and God's plan for them. Something had come between. It was a closed door. It was a giant stone. Notice, they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? The biggest door that has ever existed was rolled in front of Christ's tomb. And when they rolled the stone in front of the tomb, the door to their destiny was slammed shut. Or so they thought. Matthew tells us, so they sealed the tomb and posted the guards. They had the Roman seal put across the tomb. room had guards there because you see, the enemy, more than any door, wanted to keep that door slammed shut. In the book Desire of Ages, you have a powerful quote. It says, the great stone was in its place. The Roman seal was unbroken. The Roman guards were keeping their watch, but there were unseen watchers. Hosts of evil angels were gathered about the place. And had it been the Prince of Darkness with his apostate army, they would have kept it forever sealed in the tomb that held the Son of God. Matthew's gospel says it was a great stone. It wasn't just a little stone. It was a great stone. And interestingly, the same Greek word Matthew uses for the stone, Paul uses for the great door that God has opened. You see, the obstacles the enemy puts in front of you, Jesus is going to turn into a doorway for you to step into his destiny for you. Yeah. The devil's going to put up these doors and God, these locked walls, and God's going to make a door where there used to be no door. And so what I love about this story, these ladies are worried about how the door's going to get opened. They're worried about how God's going to work this out. They're worried about how they're going to get to Jesus. But when they get to the graveside, fully expecting to find the door slammed shut, it says they arrived and they looked up and they saw that the stone, which was very large, Magos, had already been, hallelujah, rolled away. You see, God has already dealt with the problem of this door that he's opened. Your problem is already solved. Man, if God could open the door of death, then God can open the door in your life. No door can be kept closed that God wants you to go through. God's open door policy. And the disciples still didn't get it. You'd think they'd get it by this point. And so on the evening of the first day of the week, the doors being locked, the whole resurrection scene is God opening doors. Notice it says that on the evening of the first day of the week, the doors being locked. Why? Because of the fear. For too long have you allowed fear to keep the doors in your life locked. For the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Trade your fear for God's peace. Then, they still didn't get it. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again. And Thomas was with them this time. Although the doors, notice, were locked. Do you think the Holy Spirit's trying to say something? Yes, you better believe it. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. You see, friends, the message of the resurrection is you can't keep Jesus locked out. He makes a way where there is no way. He opens doors where there are no doors. The grave couldn't contain him. The nails could not constrain him. The fear of the disciples could not stop him. The hindrances don't hinder God. The obstacles won't obstruct God. The oppositions can't oppose God. The walls we put up in front of God, God just walks through them and then breathes the Holy Spirit on your life. There is no obstacle that Christ cannot overcome. If he overcame the grave, he will overcome the obstacles in your life. I have set before you an open door and no one can shut. A wide door, hallelujah, for an effective work has been opened. Will you step through that door with Christ Jesus today? Most gracious God, we thank you and we praise you for the awesome God that you are, for being a God that opens doors. I thank you also for being a God who closes inferior doors for infinitely greater doors. One day when we step into heaven, we're going to thank you as much for the doors you closed as for the doors you opened. And so, Lord, I pray that each one of us would step through that wide open door. We all have different doors that we're facing. We all have different decisions that we're dealing with. But Lord, help us to step boldly into the throne room of grace. Help us to step boldly into that next place that you have for us, to not allow the fears of life to lock us up and paralyze us in fear. Help us to step out with the power of Pentecost and the living of Jesus in our life, to step through those doors. You have set before us a door that cannot be shut. Whatever that decision is, Lord, I pray that we will step into that destiny today. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.